Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. It feels so good to be recording again. Just a lot of stuff going down the last couple weeks and whatnot. Haven't been able to watch, or I've been watching, excuse me, haven't been able to record, haven't watched a Supercross live in a while. I've been watching them on Sundays or Mondays. But yeah, I think we are back to watching live. Maybe after this next week we'll be back live, and we should be back recording episodes, ideally once again, every week. So much better being able to do this. So, a lot has happened since my last episode. We had Foxborough and Seattle, right? Yeah. Foxborough, the absolute mutter that we thought Seattle would be, that Seattle typically is. We got that in Foxborough. 39, one of the big things in Foxborough that I took away, 39 degrees when 250 Heat 1 started. Aaron Plessinger got his first win in an absolute insane ride by Cooper Webb on the last lap to gain, I think he gained a total of 3 positions to get himself on the podium. Yeah, just absolutely wild. But I think we're just going to not worry about the past here, the too far past. We're going to worry about what happened in Philly. So we're going to start it off. 250 qualifying. We had Julien Beaumaire from the West qualifying first with a 49.205. Right in front of Garrett Marchbanks from, hang on, okay, yeah, there we go. And then we had Garrett Marchbanks in second with a 49.865. That was the best part of his night. Wasn't very eventful for him. But then in third, we had the young star Cole Davies qualifying with a 50.193. Seth Hamaker, partial red point leader here for the East Coast, qualified fourth with a 50.366. The guy he was tied with, Tom Vial, qualified sixth with a 50.390. And in between them, Deegan in fifth place. I might have said Tom Vial in fifth. Tom Vial was in sixth, qualified sixth. Deegan was in between them in fifth with a 50.381. I guess we can touch a little on Chance Hymus here since I said his name on accident. He got his first career win in Foxborough, coming back qualifying ninth now in Philly. And RJ Hampshire was the man that I wanted to talk about after his Foxborough race pretty much ended very soon, crashing going down the start straight. He qualified 10th, and he had a pretty good ride in both his, well, mainly in the main event. He qualified 10th with a 51.143, excuse me on that. Heat races. West, holy smokes, you can tell I haven't done this in a while. Here we go. Julien Beaumaire grabbed the whole shot. Deegan was in third. Davies was in second. Davies was able to get to the lead very early. And then Juju made a mistake. Deegan was able to get by. Juju made that mistake in the flat right-hand turn right before coming back onto the start straight, which that turn, just in general, that turn is one of my big takeaways that we'll get to in the end of the show here. And, yeah, then Deegan was able to go track down Cole Davies. Never really got a good shot of the pass because they were talking about something else, and they cut back too late, and then they just never showed a replay of the pass for some reason. I don't really understand why. Here it is. Yeah, Moseman went down in the whoops, and then they came back, and looks like Deegan, after coming down the start straight in that very tight left-hand turn, Deegan was able to just go inside and then doubled out. Cole Davies only able to single out, and, or in, excuse me. And that's when Deegan was able to get the lead. And, yeah, that's how it ended. So Deegan was the 250 West heat race winner. He did have the fastest lap out of anybody in the West with a 48.8. He was the only one in the 48 range. I'm going to check East real quick here. They don't have lap times. Sweet. Shout out RacerX. So yeah. Deegan able to kind of get the early jump on Juju here. It was a bad weekend for Juju. I guess his shoulder is not very good from Arlington. When he had a little incident in Arlington, jacked up his shoulder, and I guess it's just very, very difficult for him right now. So now we jump over to 250 East heat race, where, like I mentioned, we had a tie atop the points between Hamaker and Tom Viel. Hamaker, hometown-ish kid from Bainbridge, PA. Honestly, I don't know my Pennsylvania, what is that, geography very well, so I have no clue how close it is. Lee Diffie was saying it was a home race. I've heard Lee Diffie says some other things, too, that aren't very nice. But we will not worry about that right now. So, yeah, it started out great for both points leaders. Hamaker grabbed the whole shot. Viel was in second, right behind him. And it was Tom Viel, a little bit of he owned up to it. He had a very big crash, taking off the tabletop here, just started leaking way too far left, hits a tough block on the side of the track, goes down hard, almost directly onto the little plywood that they got laying out to cover the field, hits his shoulder very hard in mud, water, and all that, got up kind of slow, and was done for the race at that point. Was able to come back in the LCQ. Yeah, and qualified second place out of the LCQ. He, rewatching this crash, he hit his right shoulder very, very hard. He said, or at least his team said, that from the crash, he was okay. Nothing really scary, or it was scary, obviously. Nothing of note injury-wise. The only reason he stopped was because he didn't think he'd be able to get all the way back to ninth place, where you got to get in the heat race to qualify. Didn't think he'd get all the way back to there. And I'm sure his mechanics appreciated it, getting the bike back early. So they were able to clean it all up and change whatever needs to be changed for the LCQ. So after that, Hammaker had a nice lead, was able to ride it in for the win, with RJ Hampshire in second and Chance Hymus in third there. And yeah, Tom Vielle all the way at the bottom in 20th. Like I mentioned, though, he was able to go to the LCQ. He grabbed a very good start out of the very far outside gate. And I don't know if he just timed it well. I know he's a good starter, but he pulled an absolute ripper of a start, which was very, very clutch. So, yeah, Gavin Towers was the one man to beat him in the LCQ. So now, 250 showdown time, 250 main event, and it was a good one. Like I mentioned, Vielle pulled a very good start out of the far outside gate in the LCQ. Main event wasn't able to get that gate. Faulkner was lined up in that gate, obviously qualified in front of him. So that would be the reasoning for that. So Vielle was actually on the very inside now. And Seth Hammaker grabbed the hole shot. I got down, wrote down a lot of important people's positions off this hole shot. So we're just going to rattle off some positions. Starting with the east, because Hammaker grabbed the hole shot. Vielle, 15th. RJ Hampshire actually went down. So he was buried very far in the pack. Now in the for the west, Deegan, P4, Juju, 5, and Cole Davies, 2nd. But that didn't last very long, because at 12:26 left, right before they could complete all three laps, there was a restart because Daxton Benick got hurt or crashed. Never saw a video of it, so I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but he's got a concussion. And what else does he got? In his crash during the Philadelphia Supercross 250 main event, Daxton Benick sustained a concussion. He also injured his back and a compression fracture that will not require surgery. So he will be out, I don't know how long exactly, because the racing is staying in the East Coast. So I think it's all up to the concussion on how fast he can come back. And what else? So off the restart, RJ Hampshire pulled the hole shot. Seth Hammaker now in second. Vielle, 6th. So overall, everybody much, much better. For the East Coast, at least. And Deegan was... Ooh, I just cracked my ankle. Side note. And it felt very good. Deegan was 3rd, I do believe. I just have near front. I believe he was 3rd. Davies was in 7th. And Juju was in 20th. So I'm not exactly sure what the heck happened. Oh, it looks like Julian just got a very, he got, there it is. He got a little squirrely coming across the gate. And then there's a, is that Davies right next to him? Looks like he kind of, his back, Davies kind of slid over into him. So Julian was dead last going down the start straight at one point. And then there's just not much you can do after that. He did finish in 12th place. Yeah. So, like I mentioned, I guess his shoulder is giving him lots and lots of problems now. But then, holy smokes. Honestly, I'm going to have to take a break because I just kind of feel lost because it's been a long time since I've done this. So we're going to take a little break here. Okay, we're back. I think we're good, but we'll see. Well, probably not good. We're decent. So RJ Hampshire has the lead, and behind him, Cole Davies was making that flat right-hand turn work, was smooth inside, got past Deegan for third place there, and then there we are. Davies was able to just absolutely blitz through them whoops. I think honestly he might be one of the fastest 250 guys in the whoops right now, and it's just insane to say that because how young he is. It's his rookie season, but I honestly think he might be the best in the whoops right now in the 250 class, as long as they are skimmers. I will have to throw that little caveat. Yeah, I think I just said it the same way three different times. As long as they're skimmers, I think Cole Davies might be the best in the whoops. So he was able to fly past Hammaker there for second place, and then was able to get past RJ Hampshire very shortly into first place, and he went from P4 to P1 in about two laps, which is just absolutely insane. Deegan was, where are we? Oh, whoops. Juju was about 13th at the halfway point. Like I said, he was in absolute dead last pretty much at one point, especially going down the start straight. He was in dead last, but then he was in 20th across the whole shot line. So big shout out to Juju with the bum shoulder and getting up to 13th, the halfway point. And what'd I say he ended at? 12th? No, I think he actually might have ended in 13th. Ended in 12th. Was able to get past Enzo Lopes as well. Or maybe someone else. Nate Thrasher, 14th. Holy smokes, I just saw that. That didn't even cross my mind. I didn't see Nate Thrasher once. And he's been pretty solid the last couple weeks, too. That's a little bit of a surprise. RJ Hampshire in second place made a little mistake in the whoops. I think got a little squirrely. RJ Hampshire'd. Missed a whoop with his front tire, threw them all off rhythm. Deegan was able to get a good run through there and barely squeaked by a lapper. And then that turn was just able to rail the outside of the corner, carry more momentum and speed, able to get past RJ Hampshire, who he also looked, RJ this is, looked sweet with his Philadelphia Phillies style gear. I'm a baseball fan, so I appreciated it. Not sure if too many other people picked up on it, but his gear looked pretty darn cool in my mind. VL, there was a line in the whoops skimming them until you get to the last three. I saw, who was it? Aaron Plessinger, I believe, in his heat race was the first one I saw do it, where he skimmed them until the last three, and then he tripled out of the whoops, and then there was another triple he was able to hit going into the corner. Didn't notice too many 250 guys doing it, but VL pulled it out with about 3 minutes and 20 seconds left, and that was a big time saver. Thought maybe there was a chance VL was going to have a shot at Hammaker, who was in fourth, when he was doing that because he was right behind him. He was losing a little bit of time everywhere else, but where he was able to go skim and then triple out, I thought we were going to have a solo red plate guy in Tom Vielle, but I was wrong. Then, like I mentioned, Cole Davies was out front and just rode his laps. I think he kind of backed down a little at the end because Deegan did kind of start to catch him. And Cole Davies grabs his first win in Seattle. And then the very next race, for him at least, or for the West Coast at least, an East-West shootout, was able to go out there, get his second win. So he has an outside chance at this championship. So pulling it up now. Actually, we'll finish this off first. So Davies wins. Deegan got second, and RJ Hampshire in third, which the 250 East points are an absolute cluster right now. So we'll focus on the 250 West points for now, with Tom Vielle getting sixth place in that race. Okay. Now, Deegan is still on top in the West. He is up 17 points on Cole Davies, and they have two more races. So, yeah, it's a long shot for Davies to do anything, but it's still a shot. And now we go East. Coming into the race, we had Tom Vielle, your defending East Coast champion, and Seth Hamaker tied in points. Leaving the race, we have Seth Hamaker still has a red plate, but now defending West Coast champion RJ Hampshire is now tied with him. And Tom Vielle is 2 points back. They have three races left. Right? Maybe. Oh, man. Now my brain hurts. Anyway. So, yeah. We got still a tie for the East Coast. But now we have two different people. We have one of the guys who was involved in the tie only back 2 points. So, I mean, in the end, Tom Vielle, not happy that he no longer has the red plate, but he is only 2 points back. There's a chance where if he made one more pass, it would have been him and Hamaker still tied. Or maybe, I can't remember if it was him and Hamaker, or maybe him and RJ tied, but still. I mean, in this case, I feel like I might want to switch my pick over to RJ Hampshire, because last year we saw him go into Salt Lake City, tied points lead. Whoever beats the other guy wins the championship. With Levi Kitchen, he was able to beat Levi Kitchen and take the championship. Honestly, I don't think too many people are looking at Hamaker being like, oh, hey, he's a championship level guy. Obviously, he is. He has the red plate. I just think some people might still be looking a little too much RJ Hampshire and Tom Vielle, and that's it. Also, as I say that, I might just be talking about myself when I say that. But I am very, very excited. I cannot wait to get to probably Sunday, honestly, when I'm able to watch the race. We got Easter stuff going on Saturday, and it's a day race. So it will probably be Sunday when I watch the race. But I cannot wait. We will now get into my 250 big takeaways here. And I've already mentioned the first one quite a bit, and it is that right hand flat turn, which got super choppy, it looked like, very, very rutty. And then when you came out of the turn and got back onto the start straight, it looked like it got very slick as well. So that's going to be the same thing in the 450s when I get to the big takeaways there. Another one is Julien Bomer. His shoulder really seems like it took him out of the championship fight here. Now down 26 points. Two races left. I just think it's going to be very difficult for him to claw his way back into this championship. Honestly, it might even be difficult for him to get his way into second place in this championship, being down 9 to Cole Davies, who is 17 behind Hayden. Two more. Sticking with Cole Davies here. The 17-year-old out of New Zealand has two wins now. Back-to-back races for him and the West Coast, he has won. The first one being in Seattle a couple weeks ago. And then this last one, obviously, just happened in the East-West showdown. So very, very impressive. He will be in the championship talk going into next year. That is for sure. And my last one for the 250s here, just the 250 East point standings. I mean, holy smokes. Your top three are separated by two. The top two are tied. So, RJ Hampshire, Seth Hamaker, Tom Viel, find yourself what seems like you need is a three-sided coin, and give that sucker a good flip. And hey, whoever it lands on, that might as well be who you pick for the championship. One notable thing out of them three, Tom Viel is the only one not to win. So, he might need to get a win here coming up in East Rutherford this Saturday if he wants a shot at it. Because I do believe there has never been a champion who never won a race. So, Tom Viel might be trying to do it the hard way. And if he does end up doing the hard way, hey, hats off to you, brother. 450 time. We are coming in. 450 qualifying. Aaron Plessinger off his big first win of the season in the mud. Absolute mayhem. Cooper Webb capitalizes on everything. Chase Sexton gets stuck on a jump for about a minute and a half, it seemed like. But hey, like everyone says, Chase Sexton has the speed to win. He has the speed to win, it seems like, whenever he wants. He won in the mud last year, so he can do it as long as he doesn't get stuck on a jump. But he qualified first with a 48.491 right in front of none other than Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb might be saying, hey, I got some speed too, guys. He qualified second with a 48.659, so just 0.2 separated them. Justin Cooper, big fast qualifier in his 250 days, starting to show a little bit more of that speed here in his 450s now. Qualified third with a 49.024. And then last week's winner, Aaron Plessinger, qualified sixth with a 50.071. Another name to look at on this list, two more names to look at on this list. Both 14th and 15th right here. 15th, we'll start with Ken Roczen. It's the worst he's ever qualified in his career. I'm assuming 250 and 450. They did not say on the broadcast, though. They just said worst in his career. But, yeah, he qualified 15th with a 51.549. Now, granted, that is only 2 seconds, almost 2 seconds on the dot, pretty close, behind Chase Sexton. But still, Ken Roczen dealing with shoulder injury, dealing with an ankle injury as well. So shout out to old Kenny Roczen. And then in 14th, right in front of him, none other than everybody's favorite grandpa, Grandpa Earl, Dean Wilson, is back for the rest of the season on the Team Honda Progressive HRC or whatever it is, filling in for both Lawrences. He qualified 14th with a 51.472. So now we will head into 450 heat race number one. If I can, there we are. Shane Mack, what in the world? Oh, okay, yeah. We're good. Shane McElrath grabbed the whole shot. Webb was second. Got into the lead very early after that, though. Kind of made a little oopsie-daisy. Allowed Aaron Plessinger to not only catch up to him, but also to make the pass on him. We're going to see if they got the replay here of it. Yes, here we are. What happened? I think Cooper Webb just kind of cased a jump just ever so slightly. Slowed him up a bit. And then, yeah, rewatching it here. Yeah, and then Plessinger was just able to get to the inside line through the long rhythm section, stayed on the inside, and was able to make the pass past Cooper Webb for first. And then that is when Aaron Plessinger pulled out the skimming the whoops and then going triple out. So yeah, he was the first one I saw to do it. I know I mentioned it earlier in the 250 main event with Tom Vielle. Aaron Plessinger was the first person to pull that out in his heat race and then go on and get the win. So yeah, he won. Cooper Webb second, Malcolm Stewart third, and Shane McElrath, who pulled the whole shot, ended in fourth place. Grandpa Earl, sixth place, holding it down for the Team Honda team. Heat number dos, Spanish for anybody who was wondering. Justin Cooper, very good at starts, and he pulled the whole shot. Sexton 2, P2. Justin Cooper, I noticed, was jumping the whoops from the very first lap. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. I know he's not the best in the whoops. Him and Cooper Webb aren't really the best in the whoops, but I guess if he wants to jump them lap one of the heat race, and then you got the 250 guys out there skimming them last lap of their main event on the smaller bikes, more power to you. But that is not where he got caught and passed. He got caught. But then in that flat right-handed turn I've been talking about, coming up on a lapper, lapper gets stuck, and Justin Cooper just ran right into the back of him. Sexton, quick on his feet, went outside going into that section and was able to make the pass there. And then just bring it home. So Sexton, fastest qualifier, goes out, wins his heat race, runs the fastest lap with a 47 0.336, which is almost a whole second faster than his qualifying time, and about a half a second faster than, no, almost another full second faster than Aaron Plessinger in his heat race. So now, heat race qualifying over. It is now main event time here for the 450s, and it got off to a little bit of a chaotic start, not only the first turn, but then also a little bit with the whole entire first lap and how the first lap ended. So going into the first corner, looked like Aaron Plessinger was going to be able to pull a hole shot. Chase Sexton, his teammate on the outside. Cooper Webb, not the greatest jump for him, but still near the front of the pack. And then McElrath comes in on the inside of everybody. Just was not able to stop in time. Went into the side of Plessinger. Took out. So McElrath went out. Plessinger goes down. Plessinger was just inside of Justin Cooper. He goes down. Sexton was forced off the track. And Cooper Webb was able to kind of sneak underneath it a little bit and avoid a big part of it. Came across the line about 3-4 spots in front of Chase Sexton. But with all that, one of the best 450 first couple lap sprinters, I guess you could say, Ken Roczen, came across the line in second with Barcia right in front of him. And then going into what would be the turn just after the finish line, Justin Barcia looked like he just kind of missed his rear brake and just went flying over the berm. That allowed Roczen to the lead, where he held the lead for a pretty long time of that race. That also put Webb up to 7th, Sexton in 6th, so they came fighting through the pack together. Sexton would make a pass. Cooper Webb would make the pass about a turn or two, a section or two later. So they were coming up with each other the entire time. Sexton, I wrote this down because especially how Tampa ended for Chase Sexton in the whoops, Malcolm Stewart flying through the whoops and catching him. Sexton was actually able to make a pass on Malcolm Stewart in the whoops. And then I think Sexton might have surprised Ken Roczen a little bit when he made his pass on him for the lead. Sexton just kind of, Roczen went all the way to the outside of this right-hand bull corner. Sexton, just a couple lines lower, was able to have the inside, somehow got the same exact drive out of the corner as Ken Roczen. And there was a point, was it a quad? Sexton quadded, Roczen only tripled, that pulled the gap for Sexton even more. And then had the inside going into that big double and was able to make the move past. And then that's kind of a little bit where Cooper Webb lost touch a little bit. It took him a little bit longer to get around Roczen than it took for Chase Sexton once he caught up to him. And I think Ken Roczen might have maybe hit neutral once Cooper Webb was... I think that is how Cooper Webb was able to make the pass, because Roczen looked like all his momentum just died pretty much. And Sexton was already too far gone at that point. Webb ended up finishing second. Chase Sexton goes out, wins, kind of redeems himself. Has the perfect day, if you will. Minus, I mean, no hole shots, but fastest qualifier, wins this heat race, wins the main event. Perfect day. Once again, fastest lap in the main event. So he was still throwing down a 47.771 in the main event. And Cooper Webb just wasn't able to match that pass on Ken Roczen like he was able to do with every other pass that Sexton made. Cooper Webb did end up losing 3 points because of this in the overall championship. So now four races to go. Cooper Webb is up 12 on Chase Sexton. I mean, the math is easy for Chase Sexton. The execution of the math is the difficult part. Sexton, just go out there, win every race, and the championship is yours, even if Cooper Webb gets second, because they'd be tied in points. Sexton would have the first tiebreaker, which is wins. So, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this plays out. I honestly don't remember if I mentioned, but Ken Roczen did end up finishing third. Aaron Plessinger was able to fight his way up to eighth. Justin Cooper was able to get his way up to 16th. And Grandpa Earl, Dean Wilson, 17th. Feel like we just got to mention him. He's been mentioned in everything else so far. Okay, back to championship points. Ken Roczen, distant third. Very impressive with what he's fighting through. Easily could have been in the championship if it wasn't for essentially two crashes, one in Tampa and then a practice crash that hurt his shoulder and his ankle. So, sucks to see that for Ken Roczen, but still, to go out there and lead that race as much as he did on kind of one ankle, very, very impressive. So now, 450 big takeaways. That right-hand turn, I've been talking about it all episode here, so we'll just kind of skim over that. That's one of them. Cooper Webb, not happy whatsoever with how the performance went. Obviously, he got second. He did lose 3 points. I don't think he's got to worry too much, though. I think it also might have made him a little angry after the finish line jump. Chase Sexton turned around and gave Cooper Webb the old finger gun that Cooper Webb likes to hand out to everybody else. Chase Sexton, turn around, pa! Got him with the finger gun. Chase Sexton, big takeaway for him. He proved he can go out and win. He did mention in his post-race press conference, which something I didn't really pick up on, it's his first like actual full main event win since Anaheim 1. Everything else he's done has been in Triple Crowns. I'm pulling it up right now. So yeah, he won Anaheim 1, won Glendale Triple Crown, Birmingham. That was a Triple Crown. I forgot Birmingham was a Triple Crown, but yes. So he's got 4 wins overall now. 2 regular ones, I guess you can say, and then 2 Triple Crowns. Cooper Webb this year has Detroit, Arlington, Indy, and Seattle. So he has 4 as well. I feel like I got a little sidetracked there. Chase Sexton proves he can win. Now just he needs to continue to beat Cooper Webb and maybe hope for his teammate to help him out a little bit and put a position or two in between himself and Cooper Webb. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that happens, because I don't know how the whole team strategy is. I don't know. Justin Cooper, he can definitely do it, but will he do it? Will the team tell him not to do it? That's going to be the interesting part as this series winds down. So now, turning our attention to East Rutherford. I don't know why that is so difficult for me to say right now. Big sweeping left-hand first corner. So I don't think we should see as much chaos as we did with this first corner here, a little tight one we had this past weekend. Two whoop sections. It is... Hang on, I gotta follow this through here. So it goes whoop section into a right-handed bull turn into another whoop section. Track layout looks pretty cool. There's a couple tabletops out there. Looks like I can go table off. I think it's going to be a very, very exciting race. The big thing now will be the weather. Let's see how fast we can get this pulled up here. East Rutherford, New Jersey. Oh, we're golden. Outdoor stadium. We don't have to worry about rain or nothing. It is a day race, and on Saturday, the high is 80. It's supposed to be cloudy, though, it says. And the high temperature is at about 5-ish. And five, this is all Eastern. High temperature is about 5 Eastern. Race starts at about 3 Eastern. So it'll be pretty warm out there for them fellas. Prediction time before I get to one last little note here. Pretty big note, might I add. 250s. Something in the bones here are saying RJ Hampshire to come back, grab a solo hold of that red plate for the first time in 2 weeks for this 250 East class. 450s. I'm gonna think Cooper Webb, just how mad and irritated he definitely looked and sounded, seemed, everything on the podium in the press conference. I think Cooper Webb comes back. I think Chase Sexton will. I think it'll be another good one, but I think Cooper Webb gets the win in New Jersey. In my last note here that we got, Jet Lawrence is back on the bike. The plan for him is to show up round one. I do believe Hunter Lawrence is on pretty much the same schedule there. So, reinforcements, if you want to say, are coming. Jorge Prado also back on the bike. And Eli Tomac also back on the bike. So I think we'll have four guys coming back. Jason Anderson said he plans to be back for round one of motocross. So we got five big heavy hitters coming back for pro motocross. But obviously we got the rest of the Supercross season to get through here. So that'll about wrap us up here for the comeback episode. Excited to be back doing it. Can't wait to be doing it again next week. Talking_moto on X. Haven't done this in a while. Talking_moto on X. Give it a follow. Read, tweet, like, comment, suggestions, predictions, all that fun stuff. And we will be back next week to talk about East Rutherford, a new points leader, almost guaranteed in the East class. We'll see if Chase Sexton can cut down that lead a little bit more of Cooper Webb, and we'll see how irritated Cooper Webb comes out. Talking underscore Moto on X. See ya.